Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give the dominion to you. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If the master comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, the owner would not have let the house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." The Gospel of the Lord. Congregation, please be seated, and I would like to invite the children to come forward to help with the proclamation of the gospel message. Welcome all. Your arms all healed up? Yeah, good. Rosie and Soli. Well, for a couple of you, you might remember this story. Valerie and I told a story at the Vacation Bible School on Friday, and it was about a nightmare that was hiding in a little boy's closet. And he was afraid. Particularly when the lights went out, he was really worried, and he didn't want to open that closet to see what was in it. But one night, you know what he did? He turned on the light, and the light shone in the closet, and there was the nightmare. And it was scary looking, but the funny thing is the nightmare itself was afraid. He was afraid to come out and was afraid of the boy. So the boy who had been so worried and afraid and scared all this time, what did he have to do? He had to take care of the nightmare. And so he comforted him, gathered him up, put him in, tucked him into bed and took care of him and was no longer afraid. I like to tell that story because when the light of Jesus' life comes into our lives, Jesus is with us if we are ever afraid and promises to take care of us, to tuck us in at night, and to send us forward to help others. And when we're not afraid, or when we know that Jesus is with us and we know that our friends and community is with us, can we help others? Yes, we can. And so God's light today shines on each of you in love and says, even though we might be afraid sometimes, I am with you, I care for you, and I send you to be light and love for others. Let's say a prayer. Can we gather around? And hold hands. In our prayer this day, we said that the Holy Spirit is the light of the world. The Holy Spirit comes into our hearts, and we pray for the Holy Spirit to come into all of our hearts that we might see in the world that God intends for us to be light and life, and God promises to be with us when we're afraid or falling. We give thanks, O Lord, for these children, and we give thanks that you make them light of the world. Fill their heart with love and hope, and make them a blessing to many. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for coming. So we started off with the hymn, Have No Fear, Little Flock. It's a great line. Have no fear, little flock. God's good pleasure is to give you the dominion. Do we need to know any more than that? I was speaking with a pastor friend of mine last night, Ryan Neustadt, and we said, hey, this would just be a good opportunity for that one-minute sermon. Do we need to know anything more than it is God's good pleasure to give us the realm of God, the community of God? Should we say amen and just go home? Yeah. But we do have fear. There are some nightmares in the closet, and sometimes they come out a lot. So I feel compelled to speak a little longer. Thanks for your indulgence. It's a series of little parables and aphorisms Jesus is teaching. It's kind of interesting. For this past week, I've kind of been pondering over the next lines that come, where Jesus tells us all to make purses for ourselves, purses that do not wear out, because these are unfailing treasures in heaven. That's a pretty amazing statement. Purses that do not wear out, and these are a treasure in and of themselves. So I say, what kind of purses might these be? They don't wear out. They are eternal. And again, it's not that they just last a long time, but they are a treasure in heaven. What kind of purses are these? How do I get one or make it? I gathered insight this week from the life and writings of a saint who has passed. This past week, the nation's been remembering, I think, a treasure, and by, I think, also many measures, the heart of the nation, the author Toni Morrison, who died on Monday. Her writing gives an example of what a purse that never wears out and a treasure that is eternal might be. She wrote from within her community, her life, her heart, about the life and perspective of black people and black experience, the struggle, the dignity, the power, the love, the identity, the community. I think you could say she wrote with no fear. She wrote as one who trusted that the dominion of God was hers, despite all the fearful things that were going on about her. All the fearful things that have lasted over the generations from the inception of our country. She wrote to express strength and truth, even happiness, within herself and the black experience. Interestingly, when confronted with the fact that she didn't write about white people a whole bunch, she said she sought to avoid what she called the white gaze. I think what she meant by that was the deliberate and unwitting seeking to define black folks by white stereotypes or prejudice. The white gaze that sought to deny the dominion and community of God to people. So what kind of purses are these? Morrison, in her writing and teaching and living, went about constructing a purse that would not wear out. That is to say, an identity, a relationship, not just a community of black folks, but a community with God. Perhaps better put, she was describing the realm and community of God which she trusted was hers. She wrote of self-understanding, which contained heart, humanity, and an openness to the human spirit and the truth, the very truth of the universe, through the particularity of black community and black identity, which in its particularity speaks to all of human community and identity. So even though she'd been criticized for not including directly much white experience in her books, the truth of the purses which she constructed in her novels speaks to the whole of humanity through the depth of her life and her community's experience. Her work in many respects, has challenged the white gaze of discrimination and supremacy with the truth of black identity and humanity, a vision and hope for all people, a trust in God's good pleasure for all people. Have no fear. But we live in a world of fear. Perhaps it has always been so, but we certainly, waking up to the newspapers or to the reports or NPR, whatever we listen to, or maybe we don't listen to anything, but we can just feel the fear in the world today because our world cannot trust or accept God's good pleasure. God's good pleasure that is expanded, which is offered out to the whole of creation. These little parables, I think, tell us that God's dominion is not a meritocracy. It's not a hierarchy. It is God's good pleasure to give us the dominion. The white gaze of white supremacy, which Morrison speaks, is a fearful gaze. It is an identity or purse constructed upon the exclusion of others. When that gaze is exposed, it no longer works. When God's truth and good pleasure is revealed by witnesses such as Toni Morrison, sadly, violence emerges. That's exactly what's happening in our world, not just our nation, but our whole world. When the gaze of exclusion is revealed as a lie, violence is all that is left. It really is the death throes of a fallen world. Jesus, in this very simple parable, which mirrors his life, tells us of God's good pleasure. When the master returns home, all roles are reversed. There is no hierarchy. There is no meritocracy. It is the master who becomes the servant. It is God's good pleasure to give the meal, the dominion, the rule, the community of faith, relationship. Jesus becomes the servant. We all receive the good pleasure of God's love and acceptance. This is a purse that does not wear out, an eternal treasure. I am convinced that Jesus simply would have liked to preach a one-minute sermon or a one-minute parable had we all trusted it. But when God's truth, God's good pleasure, became apparent, was revealed in God's Son, by God's Son, and Jesus' own ministry of inclusion and welcome and love and identity for all, violence emerged. The cross, the crucifixion, was fallen humankind's way of challenging God's good pleasure. It was the fallen and last gasp way of trying to rule by exclusion, by fear, by violence, by discrimination. The resurrection which we celebrate, the meal which we celebrate, the community in which we gather, the promise of life, God's dominion, the forgiveness of sin which we receive every Sunday, announces that God's word of life is stronger than fear's word of death. We all have our fears, personal, things that haunt us in the night, during the day. Some of these are very personal, but it's also, as we are experiencing in our world, all very communal as well. And these fears threaten to rule our lives. But always we gather, we rejoice, we celebrate that it is God's good pleasure to see you through these difficult things, these fearful things, sometimes brutal things, to bear them with you, to be with you, to care for you always, to bring you through to life, expressed by Jesus' death and resurrection, reiterated by saints such as Toni Morrison. We are all called. We are invited. We are empowered as the children to live in God's good pleasure. And by simply giving, by sharing, by including, by welcoming, by living in the community of faith, by offering this good pleasure, God's good pleasure, to others. Amen.